You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Follow Up Boss, one of the leading CRMs, client relationship managers, for residential real estate. Tons of top producing agents and some of the fastest growing teams out there are using Follow Up Boss to increase lead conversion, eliminate busy work that you're not doing anyway, and frankly, deliver a higher class experience in real estate to everybody who chooses you as their realtor of choice. So if you're going to keep listening to this, which I know you will, there's more information and a personal review of Follow Up Boss. For more information, go to followupboss.com/crazy. Hello, friends. I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today I've got somebody who can explain things to you, maybe better than have been explained in the past, as she opens your eyes to another investment possibility for your real estate portfolio. And you're going to hear a little bit about black mold and guns too, because that's just part of the show. So Stephanie Walter is here from Air Bay Financial. Tune in for the conversation. Check her information out in the show notes, and I'll see you on the other side. Oh, well, thank you for coming on the show.
Sure. Happy to.
I'm all excited to hear about Airby Wealth. Is it Airby or Air Bay? Or
have yep, that's it. Air Bay.
So it's fancier than I was starting off with. Okay. So we'll go with that. So tell us a little bit about you and where you're located. Give us a tiny little snapshot before we start chatting a little bit here.
Sure. Yeah. Colorado is where I'm located. And Air Bay Wealth is a name I came up with. My dad was hugely influential in my life. He never got to see this part of my life, which makes me a little sad. But so I named my company Air Bay, which stands for legacy. And so I'm building a legacy of wealth and helping other people do the same is the way I look at that. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool. So, of course, my show is Crazy Shit in Real Estate, but before we start talking about whatever story you've experienced in life that has to do with real estate, I want to know more about what you're doing on the wealth side and who your primary audience is, because obviously when people start talking about wealth, it can get into a wildly divisive space immediately where people think we're talking about the one percenters and the tech oligarchs that run everything. But then the other side of the conversation is wealth as what I picture, which is financial stability. So when you're wealthy enough that you don't have to stress out every month, to me, that's wealth. And I'd like to know what your viewpoint is and how you define things as you're talking to normal neighbors.
Yeah, I mean, my goal really is to get my investors to reach out to the less wealthy investors to get them into the space of where I am. And teach them what I've learned from my wealthy investors, which honestly, I have learned a lot from them, which allowed me to, I just sold my business in July of this year, and I can be retired. As you're speaking, my passive income has replaced my business income. And so what I'm trying to reach out and just kind of let people know there's better ways of doing this and to do things the way the wealthy do them.
Right. And I love what you're talking about there, which is this whole mentoring space of you get around some people who have been wildly successful and their number one goal in life is to pour into somebody else and say, I did it and you can. I think it's the Robert Kiyosaki kind of method, because rich dad, poor dad, he is always and forever trying to get somebody else to ask questions, think differently and go try it. And that's what you're describing as well. So when you're talking about passive income, tell me in what angle you're looking at passive income. Is that muni bonds with that double tax-free income? Is that dividends from blue chip stocks? Is that real estate? How do you define that passive income?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I got into the syndicated space. I did my own syndication by myself in 2018, then realized I never, ever wanted to do one by myself again. So I partnered with my partner, who is a genius, and I love him. And he's very good at finding the deals, vetting the deals, operating the deals. And I am the money raiser. And so that's sort of, we're on our eighth deal together that we'll be closing before the end of the year. And so it just works for us. We both have the same values that we want to really help our investors, our number one. And that's just the way we look at it.
Okay, Stephanie, you're talking in generalities here. So I'm going to start to hammer you with some questions because my audience is not just real estate people. It's also normal consumers. And you also have some realtors and some random people who have wandered into the podcast because they love the crazy stories. So define for them what a syndication is and what exactly you're talking about in this space. Because in my life and in your life, too, it's easy for us to go fast tracking into our vocabulary and our space. And somebody around us is like, and then they miss out on what could be life changing for them. So give us a definition of syndication, why you wouldn't do it by yourself, and talk to us about how you pick a partner. Just go with those little directions for me.
Yeah, no, syndication is, I didn't know what it was either until I turned four. I was 45. I was invited into a boot camp. I'd owned a business, but I'd always loved real estate. So I invested in little real estate here and there. But I was invited into this boot camp where they explained a syndication, which is essentially a group of professionals, not a huge group. I mean, myself and my partner, it's just two of us. We find a deal, a really great deal. We look through hundreds of deals and do all the due diligence on them. Then once we get the property under contract, then that's when we invite our investors to come in. And our investors are passive investors, truly passive. Like, they don't ever have to worry about getting a call at 2 a.m. in the morning. That's truly passive income. So they invest their money into this deal, which is called a syndication. And then they receive monthly passive income from the property. And then once we go in and make it better, then we sell it and the investors get their large returns at that time. Our goal for my partner and I is we look to double our clients' money in the time that we hold it. And usually that's between 3 and 5 years.
So somebody says, hey, Stephanie, I'm going to let you use $100,000 of my cash to be a part of this giant apartment building. And what you're describing here is that apartment building is in less than perfect condition. So we're getting something that we would call a value add in the business. Is that correct? So that you
can. Yes, mostly that's what we strive to do. But we've been kind of, just because things have been a little different and very, very competitive, super competitive. I love my partner because he's from Florida. He has 35 years of being a commercial broker there. So he already has the framework in place to find the off-market deals. So yes, usually value add, which would mean something not too old. We don't like to buy anything prior to like 2000.
Oh, okay.
And then we really know our markets in Florida. And that's why currently we're going to be closing on a property that'll be our fourth acquisition in Tallahassee. So we really know our markets, and that's meant a lot to us to do well by our investors.
Look, I went to Florida State before the time frame in which you buy houses, and I don't even recognize Tallahassee with the amount of growth that's happened down there. And I don't know what these people are doing paying for these nice apartments for their college kids. College kids should live in a rat hole because that's what you learn from. Yeah. But anyway, they live in nicer places than we did. And we were hanging out at Stetson's on the Moon on Friday and Saturday nights. But anyway, when you're talking about these buildings and you're going to bring somebody a return in 3 to 5 years, who is buying these from you? Are you selling these to hedge funds, or do you sell it to other mom and pop investors? Do you sell it to another syndication? Who is the ideal target for this property that you've brightened up and improved the rent zone?
It can be anyone in this market right now. It's just so, so competitive. So it could be institutional. We kind of sit in a space where we're not super huge. So I don't think the investment people probably want to compete for our business, but this is our largest property we're doing right now. It's 160 units. And so we're probably largely. And then I heard my partner just saying, I think we went under contract for another, and it's 40 units. So for us, if everything's in place to make this work, we're happy to do it small, to do it big, but we haven't done any 300 or 400 units. Usually to do a deal that size, you have to bring in family office money, institutional money. And I think what's special about us is we just focus on the investors and individual investors. And my outreach is largely to people that have never heard of this before, but we do have our wealthy investors that invest again and again with us. But really, I feel like that's my purpose, is to really talk to people and let them know that there's something better they can do with their money to have a life like I have now. So to do what you really love to do.
I love that, because I'm very, very concerned about the amount of real estate that's being purchased by institutional investors and hedge funds in the US. And so I love to hear that the niche that you're in isn't necessarily eaten up by that space, because you are helping neighbors become property owners. And that keeps some of the rents affordable in our different markets, because the units that you're talking about, a 40 unit complex, is probably where somebody could afford to live, but can't buy into these super expensive, shiny corporate complexes, but they want something that's maybe a little bit nicer than the duplex down the street. So when you talk about getting people involved in real estate and you have a new investor to your syndicate, what do you run into with questions, and what questions should they ask, and what are their biggest concerns that you can allay for them as an active investor yourself? Because obviously you're not preaching about something that you aren't doing every day.
I think one of the more frustrating things is just the people that it's just like paralysis of analysis, and they don't act on it because they're scared. And I understand that. I do, because they're afraid, oh, they're just going to take my $50,000 and run down the street with it. But I think what's really important when you're working with syndicators is to find out their track records. You know, now we have a really significant track record of eight, you know, we're working on our eighth project together. But I think what also, I tell people to ask investors who come to me and ask about investing in other deals. I tell them, be sure that you ask about the reporting. Are you going to give them your money and then not hear anything for a year, and then you'll get your distribution paid to you? Or how will the distributions be paid? With us, we always felt very strongly that we're going to pay monthly, because that's a great reminder of them owning that property, that they're getting that check every month. But the other thing is, what kind of reporting is done? Like, how transparent do you get to see any reports? The reporting we put together is extremely detailed. We're taking pictures of deposits. We're sending over copies of the bank statements. So our investors are seeing money. A lot of them don't care, honestly, but the ones that do care, and our business owners themselves, they like to see money coming in that's being deposited into the bank. And then we have usually a business plan for the property. And so then we are always pushing that ahead and letting people know where we are in the process.
Okay, so I told y'all that I would do a review of Follow Up Boss, you know, because I'm your friend in real estate, and I did. Now, you know, there's a Blue Million CRM out there. I mean, if you go to any Facebook group, every realtor's like, which one should I use? Which one should I use? And you know that these CRM, which are client relationship managers or customer relationship manager, whatever you want to call it, it's truly a system that's just designed to help you know what to do next, because you're very busy and you're a multitasker in real estate. With all those different tasks and balls up in the air, you need something to help you stay on track. And that's what Follow Up Boss does. Now, when you save a name and a phone number in there, that is basically a Rolodex. Follow Up Boss is going to take the names and phone numbers and also help you know what to do next, so you can maintain these relationships with your neighbors, because that's what this is about. Real estate is not about serving just prospects and clients. It's about taking great care of your neighbors' needs in real estate. And if you'll use a tool like Follow Up Boss, where they remember you, oh, they might even call you when they're ready to buy or sell again, or when their mom and daddy do, or their best friend or their kid, and you want to be top of mind. That's what a product like Follow Up Boss will do for you. truly, it's going to change your business when you start paying better attention to people. They don't have to know you use Follow-Up Boss, but they'll totally understand that they are being heard by you. So now there's a free trial for my people because you're loved. Go to followupboss.com/crazy. No credit card is required. And frankly, because you're my people and we made an ask for you, Follow-Up Boss said, yes, you get double the free trial. That's actually enough time to log in, put some pieces in it, and watch it change your business as it has for so many realtors and teams nationwide. Again, go to followupboss.com/crazy to start your free trial today. So outside of the fear that somebody might have for investing in a syndication for the first time, or as you mentioned, you know, trusting you with their hard-earned money, how do investors weather a changing market? Because what we're seeing in real estate right now, we're all noticing it's stabilizing right now. It's not as hot as it was a few months ago, even though it's still very, very strong. And of course, real estate markets are fluid. They go up and they go down. And at some point, the market's going to go sideways. How do you hedge against that with your properties? And what's the protection for an investor?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because I think most people look at, oh, I'm investing in real estate, and then they automatically go back to 2007, 2008, 2009. And they're like, well, what will happen? What's the worst thing that could happen here? Because my neighbor, their house, they got foreclosed on, and then my house wasn't worth anything. And actually, that's a big difference that I like to bring out to these investors, is the value of these properties are based on the income, the net income that they provide. And so there is no comp. So as far as like, it's very, very important to invest in a market that is going to perform during times like these. We were lucky enough to be in Florida. We loved Florida, but Florida performed amazing during COVID. We weren't really hit because of the types of apartments we had invested in. People did not take advantage of the moratoriums and just paid their rent. So we never missed those distribution payments to our investors, which, I mean, for us, market is everything. And yes, I know that it's going crazy. And I got into this in 2016, and it was so hard to find anything at that time to buy. And now I was at a conference a couple months ago, and I was like, I would never have imagined in 2021 that it would be even like way harder to find something that makes sense. So we buy very conservatively. We always buy off-market deals. We want to make our money on the buy. So that gives us a lot of power going in. We're never trying to invest for, or we're never trying to buy and speculate as appreciation, because at some point, even though there's a huge shortage, I think I listened to one of your other shows and someone had brought up that there's like 4 million there's a shortage of 4 million apartments. And that is what we're seeing. You know, we've been able to just do amazing things in some of these markets, because there truly isn't the housing, and it will be probably a decade before they will get caught up. And so I think as far as a place to put your money to hedge against inflation, all of those things, I think multifamily is the best. But to go back during that 2007, 2008, 2009, I tell people, go on the internet. It's great research that you can do, is that really all rents did during that time were they sort of flattened, yep, you know?
Exactly.
So that meant that if you owned in a multifamily space, you're going to get the same distribution paid to you every month. And so it really didn't affect that type of investment. So that's why personally, I have sold all my rental properties. I just sold my last one this year, just because I love this type of investing. And also I was tired of being a landlord. So,
well, I don't know about you, but if it goes back to an era like 7, 8, 9, that's when I'll be able to buy more, because I couldn't buy enough back then. I wasn't financially able to, and I was so scared. Now with my rear view mirror, I'm like, I missed out on so many opportunities. Yeah. Because when markets change, it opens up opportunities. Now, that being said, of course, you know the premise of the show. We like to hear crazy stories. Anytime an investor's on the show, you see things that are wildly different than we see in the residential real estate side or in insurance agencies. So I'm curious, Stephanie, when I talk to you about the crazy shit in real estate, what is the thing that has caused you to say, still can't believe this angle, this moment, this client? What's the story you would tell?
This one comes to mind. It's not a pleasant one, but I was really, really trying to get my first deal again by myself. I didn't have my partner at that time. And I had gone under contract for, it was 24 units in Fort Myers. And I had some software, also had some people I knew down in that area who went and looked at it and were telling me, well, it's kind of a transitional area, but the way that Florida is going, and especially Fort Myers, this is going to come around. And so, yeah, I was like so excited. I was like, okay, all the numbers, they look fantastic. I'm going to go ahead and put an offer in. And my next step was flying down there and doing the inspection. So we go down and do the inspection, and the first unit this guy goes into, he comes out and he goes, there's black mold. And it's like the worst black mold he'd ever seen. And so they brought me in to look at it, and the poor tenant that was in there, and I just couldn't believe he was living with that. And he was like, is this normal, as he was seeing it? And I was like, no, I mean, I had a headache just the few minutes I was in there to look at it. And I was like, this is not normal. This is something your landlord should do something about. And then the last unit, the inspector came out of and just like looked at me and was just, he was just speechless. And he said, the person living in there is mentally not right. And he is using his bedroom as a toilet. And so there was just, yeah. So, and then all the tenants came out and they were like, they were wanting to talk to me and stuff like that, because they were hopeful that they would get a different landlord, I'm assuming. And the one guy, he pulls his shirt away from his belt and there he had a gun. And he said, he goes, come back here when it gets dark. It's a whole different place. And anyways, but yeah, I got out of that one. And it was a lesson. I spent the money on the inspection. I never got that back or stuff like that. But it's a hard lesson. But as long as you learn one, you just keep moving on. But I know I was really set on that, like emotionally, really, really set on that one. So I was still like, when I left, I was like, I could do this, I could do this. And then I talked to one of my mentors and she was like, Steph, no, walk away from that because it's just too much. And so, yeah, but that's sometimes emotion can cloud your judgment, but because you want something so bad.
Fascinating, right? Because so many people assume that investment real estate doesn't have emotion. It's only our primary residences that do, but you're exactly right. Like in your head, you get committed to it. You get committed to the city and to the transitional neighborhood. And then you probably felt like you had to save that tenant with the black mold. You wanted to make their living environment better. And all of those things can be done, but it has to fit the financial profile and the risk profile. And it's also why you have mentors to say, I get you on this, but that's not the best place to invest your money. And that's hard. And I don't even think it's hard walking away from the inspection money. It's hard walking away from, man, in my head, I already had this one on my spreadsheet.
Yeah, exactly. But it was 100% the right thing to have done. And, but yes, we do get it. But I guess my segue on that is it's nice to be an investor to where we, the professionals, go through all this digging to find the deal. And that's why when we find one, it's usually quite a jewel. But there's a lot of digging to get to it.
Well, and it's also that moment where you say, maybe this investment's not for me. But when you network correctly and go to conferences like you're talking about, there's probably somebody that would thrive on a unit like that, where they like the built-in security and they want to go in and make life better for those tenants. I do think there's a misconception in the public, and the media just makes it 1,000 times worse every chance they get, that landlords are evil. And landlords are not evil. Landlords are housing providers. And sometimes the landlord would fix things if they knew about them, but maybe the tenant didn't communicate it. Maybe the landlord didn't listen. Maybe a property manager's not listening. There can be a communication breakdown. But the moral of the story is, without syndicators like you and investors like you and your partner and the people who are paying in, we have a worse housing crisis than we already have. And so landlords are not inherently evil. I just want y'all to know that when you hear anybody talking smack about them and saying that we're hoarding real estate, just remember somebody has to own it. And I think you're better off with an investor like Arabe Wealth than you are with the government owning it. So Stephanie, if somebody wants to reach out to you and your partner, find out more about how they can get educated on how you bring people into syndication, how that process works, and learn from what you're putting out there, how do they reach you?
You can reach me on my website. That's the best place, which is www.erbewealth.com. And I've just got a ton of content there. The first place to start, I think we just put up a free report, the 5 reasons that passive investing might be for you. And yep, you can contact me there. I've got a ton of video. I have a video series there, which are just the most common questions I get from investors. And so that's a great place for the starting investor to go.
Love that. So that means if you are watching or listening to this and you're one of those people whose stock market numbers are through the roof because the market's been up and you're ready to look at something different, maybe diversify, maybe just start plowing into some real estate and create a different future for yourself, now's a good time to go check out those resources. I'm going to go check out that top 5 questions for myself because that sounds fascinating. And for those of y'all that still aren't sure what Arabe is spelled like, no stress. All the links are in the show notes for this episode. So you can go find and follow Stephanie on her website. You can find her probably on social media too, but go to the website and get the free content and then reach out to her after you check the free content. That's just going to be my Mama Brown in me telling you, don't be asking stupid questions when your questions might already been answered. And you can be mad if you want to, but am I right, Stephanie?
Yes.
But you might create your more questions after you read her documents. Yeah. So go check it out. Stephanie, I appreciate you coming on the show and breaking down for us that syndication is actually probably more accessible than a lot of people realize. And now they might even know what it means when they're at a cocktail party. They can more intelligently be a part of that conversation and maybe they can make this part of their investing future too. So thank you for coming on and doing your dad proud. I know
he's
pretty proud of this. I can guarantee it.
Thank you.
All right, guys, make sure you leave her a nice comment. That's your job. Give me 5 stars. That's your second job. And then tune back in next time here on Crazy Shit, where you're sure to learn something, hear something, laugh a little bit. But regardless, we'll be glad to have you. So we'll see you next time. Okay, now don't forget to go try Follow Up Boss so that your business can continue to expand in professionalism. And then you can meet some more crazy people yourself. I really appreciate Follow Up Boss sponsoring this episode, but mainly I appreciate them for giving y'all double the free trial time with no credit card required. So make sure you go to followupboss.com/crazy and then let me know what you think. I'll see you guys next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.